Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
60 minutes to go on a Monday. Let's get dramatic. It is Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. I got a point on James Harden and Deshaun Watson in just a moment. Houston sports fans are not happy when you hear those two names. You know, James Harden's no longer with the Rockets, and now you're hoping that somehow a magical wand can be waved and Deshaun Watson wakes up one day and goes, Nick Caserio, what's up? Cal McNair, you know what? I actually like you again. Jack Easterby, hey, you are a hypnotist because you just hypnotized me to come on back. And Dave Culley, you're my guy. I'm coming to play football for you. The chances of that happening, survey says. So we'll get to James Harden and Deshaun Watson in just a moment and maybe what Deshaun Watson can learn from the James Harden playbook. I got to ask, though, my producer, as you are devouring, what do you got there? Is that lasagna? Is that some lasagna right there? Are you eating some lasagna?
Ravioli.
So when you put the ravioli down for a second, I need a little update because my sources tell me, and I think my sources are pretty good. You nervous at all when I say my sources tell me? Especially with the way that you're treating the locker room these days. Mraz crapping all over you. Tom DeCelestino today, crapping all over you. D-Cell, that's too many syllables to say on a radio, so just the radio show. So D-Cell, crapping all over you today. You get a little bit nervous when I say my sources are telling me something about you?
I am, because, yeah, the last few things that have been said about me have all been negative, so I don't think this will be good either. So
my sources tell me the reason why you were not a part of Friday's program is because you've been suspended from the radio station. No, I'm just kidding on that front. My sources tell me that you went skiing, and you have not been skiing in quite some time. Now, you look healthy. You look fine. I was expecting you to come on in with, like, an arm in the sling, a leg all broken with some cast. I'm assuming it went well then, right? Were you able to
you
ski
think
okay?
The most athletic producer at CBS Sports Radio is going to come back here, leg shattered, arm in a sling.
Oh, my
maybe
God.
Maybe wheeling in a wheelchair because I got, you know, rolled down the mountain. Come on, Zach.
Can you imagine? Now, you're lucky. You'd be lucky that Mraz is on vacation. You talk all that smack last week.
Oh,
and,
boy.
And I'm not saying that anything you said was incorrect and was not true, but you talk all that smack, and then you go skiing a little bunny slope. Broken leg for Ryan Trace, Hickey Mraz. That's what that would have been.
I would agree. I'd probably take a month off and just like somehow like burn all my vacation days and just come back like nothing happened. Yeah, I couldn't live with myself if that was the case.
Now, what was the level of skiing that you did?
So I went with my girlfriend. She's been snowboarding before.
So you're blaming it on your girlfriend?
No, not blaming her.
I'm assuming that you didn't take it up to the next level here.
I taught her how to ski for the first time in her life.
Okay,
weekend.
So you were teaching.
I was
now,
teaching.
Now, hold on. Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Did she pull a little line or a little take a page out of a playbook from the kid that was yelling at Cam Newton, where you, Cam, and you had that disrespectful rascal start saying, your girlfriend starts saying to you, you're going to be poor, you're a nobody, you're a free agent, you're a big fat loser. Did that at all happen between you and your girlfriend?
She wasn't happy when I laughed at her when she fell a few times.
But she wasn't disrespectful in her tone back
She was
to you.
Definitely cursing at me in my direction. But at the same time, I don't have any of the accolades Cam Newton has. So mm-hmm. it's like, how can you insult someone yeah. that never even got to like a level?
You're not the Lindsey Vonn in this scenario.
Right. No, exactly. So unfortunately, I wish I was, you know, able to be a nobody. That means I was a somebody at some point, but unfortunately...
Was there any point in this skiing trip where you thought the relationship was over and that your girlfriend was going to be that bad at you that this was something you could not salvage?
Actually, no, because I'll give her a lot of credit. She was a lot better at skiing than I thought. Than
wow.
I pictured.
So you didn't have confidence in your girlfriend is what you're telling me.
Nothing. I wouldn't say that. I'll say this. You said it before. I don't really ski that often. Like the last time I was 2 years ago. Like usually I'll go maybe once a season. That's, you know, very recreational at best. Okay. So I didn't have faith in the teacher teaching her the right way, teaching her the right form.
So it's a lost cause is what you're telling me.
Yes.
Even
and
the athletic
surprised.
Ryan Trace Hickey was not a good skier. Is that a flaw? Can you imagine Mraz on skis?
No. Oh, God. I would be worried about his health.
I would pay money Mraz Hickey on the bunny slope. So anyway.
Oh, I would win.
You were on the bunny slope. Right,
for a little bit of the day.
Okay, so you start off on the bunny slope. You get the scaries out of the system.
Absolutely.
Did you go to I'm assuming the next step then is a green circle.
Yes.
Did you do anything more than the green circle?
We did not. She kept encouraging me to go down the blue. Maybe.
Were you afraid?
Were
you a scaredy cat?
I wouldn't say afraid. I just didn't feel the need.
Okay.
I just, you know, I'll stick with her. I'll stick to what I know. I got in a groove. I don't go that often. So I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to keep it simple.
How many runs do you think you took in one day?
Ooh, we were there a lot on Saturday. I'll probably say, like, we probably honestly went on 20 runs on Sunday.
Wow.
On Saturday.
So 20 circles. And after 20 circles, you didn't say to yourself, maybe, well, we may as well just end it off with a little square. Oh, blue square.
I will say
I'm
this.
I'm not saying to do a diamond.
No. I mean, if that was a diamond, Zach, I wouldn't even be here right now. I'd be probably in a hospital. I will say this. So we went to Camelback Mountain in Pennsylvania. They have lights, so you can do like night skiing. We finished
That's
up probably
a
around.
Thing.
It is a real thing.
Because I'm going skiing in 2 weeks.
Okay.
And up until last year, I didn't go skiing for like 10 years. I used to be a really good skier when I was a kid. I actually once told my sister we were going down a square and I took her down a diamond. And the ski patrol had to come escort her down.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, petrified. That's messed up.
That was younger goodness. Brother getting one back on Big Sis.
Man.
So that did occur. Oh. That did happen. Brother of the year. Yes, I know. I'll take the award later. So I didn't ski for about 10 years, whatever the reasons were. My friends, they have a house in Okemo. And we went out there. And I started out, you know, bunny slope, then green circle. And then they just tricked me because they're at different levels of skiing. We're going down the blue square, but we're going down the green circle. And I get there. I go up. There's no other way to go but down. So I did the blue square. I did not fall. Now, I did one diamond that day. And somehow, I don't know how, I did not fall. Now, when I go, I think I'm going in 2 weeks. I don't know if I'm going to do the diamond. Because not my baby cousin anymore. He's like 6 or 7. They just took him skiing first time. We see a video. He's doing the pizza stop, all that. Skiing, great, wonderful. Next day, wake up. Full cast. Next day, went out there, went to go stop. Guess his leg got caught up, buckled, and then broken leg for a 6-7-year-old. So, best wishes to my cousin Luca, as he likes to say his name, Luca. So that kind of, even though I did the diamond a year ago, that kind of now gets me a little bit scared. So I think I'm going to, once again, gradually speed up a little bit, but go bunny slope to green circle and then do a few blue squares.
Can I get your confidence up?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, sure.
Because you've obviously skied way more than me in my life. I will say this. Even though I haven't gone in 2 years and I don't ski nearly as much as you do, my legs came back pretty quick. Like, it took a few, like, obviously you get the rust off. Two or three
it's
runs,
it's like
I'll
riding
say,
a bike.
Right. I'm like, wow, okay, I got it back. You know, you get it. I think you'll be able to go down a diamond.
So here's the thing. If I'm skiing for 2 days, I will go down a diamond. If it's 1 day, just survive the 5 hours and not do the diamond. So that's where I kind of think I'm at. How was it, though? I'm just, you know, with all of coronavirus and all that, if you didn't know, well, maybe that's not a good question to ask again on the radio. But my point is, did you feel safe skiing is my question? Because that's an outdoor activity. Like, a lot of people picked up golf. Did you feel as if there was too many people on the mountain?
I will say it was packed. You know, President's Day weekend, I didn't really think about when we booked it. It was a very packed weekend.
Yeah.
But with that said, you're outside. They did a great job at spacing everyone. Everyone had masks on. So.
Wait, now hold on. President's Day weekend?
Yeah.
You didn't go less?
Well, I guess, fair. It's the it's the weekend.
I was saying, am I supposed
after
to be off today?
President's Week.
Even though we didn't take off last Monday. Okay, yeah, I got you.
So it kind of bled into that. So it was packed, and the weather was gorgeous, so that kind of helped more people go.
Oh, by the way.
Sure.
Because I interject a lot when talking to you. You know,
it's your show.
It is the Zach Gelb Show.
Absolutely.
The nighttime skiing.
Yes.
So I always see that. I've never gone nighttime skiing. When I go skiing, I wake up early in the morning, and then nowadays, you know, try to get home by like 3:34 back to the place, and then you drink a few brews and enjoy the night, and then wake up the next day all hungover, and then boom, go right back out to the slopes. Nighttime skiing. Were you fearing for your life there, or was it well lit?
It was well lit.
It's got to be well lit, right?
Well, they did a great job. Now, I will say, part of the reason I didn't go down in blue is just because, you know, little. I was like, I know the trails by this point, so I know where I'm going. There's some areas that are a little dark, especially if you have goggles on. Most of them are tinted, so it's like it is a little dark, I will say, with the goggles on. But other than that, very well lit. It's pretty cool.
Nighttime skiing, if I ever do go, would not go down a diamond nighttime.
Yeah, I don't think
diamond is a daytime activity. I don't even know if I go down a square at night. I would go.
Probably safe and sorry.
Where I am at as a skier, I'm watching. When I go in 2 weeks, I'm going to come back in, broken leg, broken back. That's my biggest fear. It when I go skiing, I just don't want to fall and break a hip. Like, I don't want to break any part of my body, like an arm, a leg. The last thing I want to do, and that's for some reason the fear that I have, is I'm going to ski, tumble, and then break a hip. I don't want that to happen.
That seems like the most complicated. Like, broken leg, obviously, I mean, not that
stinks.
It's not a big deal, but crutches, like, you can get around. Broken hip, that sounds just...
Because how would I do the show? You know, I have a broken leg. I plop my leg up, got a broken arm, rest the arm. If I got a broken hip, I'm not sitting in any enjoyable position. I'd have to be, you know, at the channel. I have to be like, you freeze. I'd be in the hospital bed. They got the headset on. All right, we got the pre-show meeting here. This is what we're doing. Oh, we're interviewing Eric Wood right now. All right, Eric, I'm in the hospital bed, sitting here. Got my OJ, my sandwich cut in triangle, like a triangle form. All right, we're doing the show on CBS Sports Radio. They'd have to get me a hospital bed studio.
I think CBS Sports Network might have to air the show like live. If you were you freezing it for like let's say 3 weeks, that this has to be on TV.
And I guess I'd be in line for a huge job or all the rumors, right? Now I guess you freeze didn't take any promotions from Liberty, but he's rumored at every SEC job.
Now I just got to figure out a way I can wave to you at the end of the game, like Dino Babers.
Dino Babers,
great game, coach. Waving up to the upper deck.
That's it on the Zach Gelb Show. Good day today. I see Trace. Just waving as if you're Harry Potter on that train in that movie. Okay. Zach Gill, meet you freeze on CBS Sports Radio.
The memes would be easy, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah. People would have a field day with that. We would have to get you freeze on the show. Hey, coach. Usually we want to talk to you about football and all the great work that you're doing at Liberty, but I'm in a hospital bed right now. I got the sippy cup. You know, maybe they let me get up, hopefully, and go to the bathroom. We don't need anything going on there. All right. Give me some advice on how to do your job from a hospital bed, because I'm hosting a radio show from the hospital bed.
Maybe angles, how to lean the bed, you know, lean it up, tilt it up, 45, 50-degree angles, you know? I'm sure he has to be an expert about that.
That would be something. Kaplan would be all over that, too. He'd be like, oh, Zach's in a hospital bed. Let's get six cameras there so we get six different angles.
Could be good for the show if you break hip.
No,
you know, go viral. Sports radio host breaks hip on Saturday. Does show from hospital bed on Monday.
Why would that go viral? Why would anyone care if I broke my hip other than the You Freeze kind of hospital bed show?
Because you have a great comparison. And the internet loves to, you know, not make jokes.
Yeah. They'd be making jokes out of me. Oh, what, this loser can't even ski.
Dedication.
He breaks his hip.
Look at this guy. Breaks his hip. Still doing the show.
Did you ever see the story? I know Bill Michaels is no longer working with the Fan, one of our affiliates. Bill, longtime successful talk show host, has been doing this for years and years and years. I remember reading an article that he was once doing a remote, and he got struck by lightning. Have you ever heard that story?
Oh, what?
Yeah, he was doing a remote, obviously survived fine, but when he was doing the remote, he got struck by lightning.
So do you know what happened?
I guess they took a commercial break.
Holy smokes. did he?
I've seen him before. He's been on the air. This was years ago. Years ago this happened.
What happens when you get zapped? I don't even know.
The
producer gets a...
Luckily, you
survived. Quick commercial break.
Can you imagine...
Bill, we'll be back in five.
Can you imagine we're doing a remote, and God willing, hopefully we get back to a state one day we could do remotes. I'm doing a remote. I get struck by lightning. Imagine your call with Chernoff.
Wait, Zach, what happened with Zach? What?
If we add the commercials 2 minutes, will he be back in 7 minutes? Can he do the show after?
Do we have an old interview in the system? Don't we?
I'm pretty sure. Make sure that I'm not just spreading false information, but I remember seeing this once. Bill Michaels struck by lightning. Now it comes up. It finishes the sentence for me. Let me see. Yeah. Wisconsin sportscaster Bill Michaels survives lightning strike. And it's one of these pay for articles. I can't even get you. Oh, no. Actually, here we go. This is from TMJ4, I guess the news station out there. Lightning struck a Wisconsin radio host while he was live on the air Thursday. This is back in 2018. All right, so not that far ago. Syndicated sportscaster Bill Michaels survived the hit. Immediately, I couldn't feel my arms, like below my elbows and my legs and feet, said Michaels. Michaels said he just finished interviewing. Wow. How about this one? He's interviewing a friend of the show, Jerry Kramer, at a golf outing. When he heard a buzz and felt a jolt, he drove himself to the hospital. Wow. You get struck by lightning? You don't have someone drive you to the hospital? He said the lightning struck his hand and foot. The bolt or the current blew out through the bottom of my shoe, said Michaels. He was undercover outside broadcasting from a metal table. Michaels remember hearing thunder in a distance, and minutes later he heard an electric buzz. I had my arms kind of underneath the table on my knees and touching the tables, Michaels said. So I don't have to read the rest of the article.
That sounds like he almost like didn't even realize he was struck by lightning, which is just like, I assume like you feel the zap go through your body and you're like, oh my God.
The best way I can describe it is like somebody had an electric wire laying across my lap and put the plug in, pull the plug out. It was like two quick buzzes. He said the doctors said he was struck. So there you go. Now, in the article, they have tweets. It's from this guy, Scott Walker. Scott Walker. Oh, he's the was the 45th governor. I think so. And he got 266. Google Scott Walker. Maybe I should know my Scott Walker politics. It shows you how plugged in, or I don't know if that's the best word there, how unplugged I am when it comes to politics. Bill Michaels knew you had an electrifying show, but this is taking it to a whole new level. Glad to hear you're still with us, Guestwell. So there you go. I don't know how we went from Trace skiing. None of this was planned. This is our show. We went from Trace skiing to Zach Gelb skiing, breaking a hip, which didn't happen, doing a show like You Freeze in a Hospital Bed, to then somehow getting to the story on Bill Michaels. You got the Scott Walker official title?
You crush it. He was the 45th governor of Wisconsin.
How about that? You know, since I'm a big figure in Wisconsin sports, some may even say put me on the Mount Rushmore of Wisconsin sports. Key to the city, it's still supposed to be delivered to me. Peter Fagan of the Bucks, for all my efforts to keep Giannis in Milwaukee, said that there was going to be a Zach Gelb day. Waiting. Bueller. We're waiting for that to happen. All right, we'll come on back. What Deshaun Watson can learn from James Harden. We get into that on the other side. It's the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
March Madness is right around the corner. Thank God we're going to get March Madness this year. And this weekend, CBS has two full days of college hoops with triple headers. The action starts on Saturday at noon Eastern with the battle in the Big 12 between Texas and Texas Tech. Shaka Smart, Chris Beard. Then on Sunday, three more games capped off with a late afternoon Big Ten showdown when Iowa takes on Ohio State. Two college hoops triple headers on Saturday and Sunday, as they say in Philadelphia, Saturday and Sunday, beginning at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. The road to the Final Four is on CBS. I watch Michigan and Ohio State. How about Michigan? Michigan beats Ohio State, Jim Harbaugh saying, please, why can't I find a way to do that? It's a good basketball game. I like Juwan Howard and Phil Martelli. I like the coaching staff. You got Mo Wagner's brother. You got also another big for Michigan who's just insane. He's 7'2". You got good guard play. Michigan's third team in the country for a reason. Maybe this is the year. And I guess right now, if I had to pick, and I don't know the matchups, I don't know the regions, all that, I'm kind of rocking with the Wolverines. I'm kind of thinking Michigan, who has recently been to two championship games in the last 7, 8 years, 10 years, whatever, you know, lose to Louisville, and then you also, with Beeline, lost to Villanova. Now you got a new coach there, Juwan Howard, who is no stranger to the program, part of the Fab Five. I would have a big rooting interest in Michigan hoops to go cut down the nets and win it all. Maybe the third time's a charm in recent memory. Now, if you look at it also the other way, and if you want to look at the rest of the standings in college basketball, I would say, or the rankings, I should say, Mark Few is also very easy to root for at Gonzaga. The dude's incredible. They're 22-0. He's been to a championship game before when they lost to UNC. I wouldn't mind seeing Gonzaga win it all. And Baylor's also a likable team, too. And I give credit to, how about Nate Oates? Nate Oates goes from Buffalo, had success after taking over for Hurley, was on that staff. And now Nate Oates, I think it's his second year at Alabama. I want to say second year at Alabama. They're a top 10 team in the country at number 6. So I know college basketball, because of all the stopping and starting, COVID, all that, it's kind of like the early stages, a little bit different because college football is more important and just more people watch it. It's kind of like the early stages of college football where we had programs missing games. We didn't know which conferences was playing. And now really with no football on, basketball, NBA-wise, he had a good game last night between the Nets and the Clippers, but there's no really big regular season games yet. Baseball around the corner, but doesn't get started, games you actually care about, until April with the regular season commencing. Hockey, I know the casual hockey fan will just watch in the playoffs. I love hockey. I saw my Rangers take down the Capitals on Sunday, and now you have this disgraceful Artemi Panarin situation. He speaks out against Putin, and then all of a sudden these allegations come out of nowhere, and now he has to take a leave of absence from the team because he probably fears for his family's life. And you had his old coach making these allegations. It's ridiculous. So I did watch the Rangers, though. They scored 3 goals through 2 periods on Sunday, beat the Capitals, which was nice, 4-1. But what, Nate Oates, is that his second year? Was I right on that? Second year at Alabama? Maybe we'll get him on the show. I like Nate Oates. Always been a fan of Nate Oates. So I can't wait for March Madness. And I think we'll appreciate it more this year because it was taken away from us. That was the first big major sporting event that was taken away from us. Because if you recall, the NBA, that's when the first sport did hit the pause button. Well, I guess you could say the Ivy League, they did cancel their tournament. But even though I've been to a few Ivy League tournaments, I don't think nationally that has a lot of sizzle, the Ivy League. So you had the first sporting event that people really cared about was, of course, that game with Utah getting postponed. Utah, OKC, the PA announcer, everyone's fine, you're all safe, just please leave the stadium, you're all fine. And then the entire league was put on pause with it being postponed, the season. But really, when I was at the Big East tournament, when the Big East was the last conference tournament to shut down, and then we shortly after that got the announcement there's going to be no NCAA tournament. That was the first. The NBA was one thing, but we didn't know the magnitude of it at the time and its regular season games. When the March Madness went away, that was, oh my goodness gracious, that's a staple of American life. So that's wild how we're approaching a year on that. Anyway, let me get to my James Harden, Deshaun Watson point. James Harden wanted out. There was no movement on the deal in Houston. James Harden was even showing up fat and out of shape. At first, wasn't even showing up, was partying his took us off in Las Vegas. No mask. Then sat down in front of a microphone. Few games in, whatever it was. We're not winning here anymore. Disrespected his teammates. They didn't even let him practice the next day. And then they traded him. Deshaun Watson right now, he has already expressed his displeasure with the organization. He has already made the formal request that he does not want to be a part of this organization anymore with the Texans, and that he wants out. And we even take it back to the Chris Mortensen report when all this stuff initially was breaking. I still love this one. I know it's Trace's favorite too. It wasn't, oh, just get rid of Jack Easterby. At this point, Cal McNair's got to fire Cal McNair. And we know that's not happening. Easterby's not going anywhere right now. Cal McNair, he owns the damn team, so he's not going anywhere. And you still have Deshaun Watson not returning the phone calls of Nick Caserio and also David Culley, the new head football coach. So this is either going to go, I guess, three ways. One, before the draft, Watson's going to get traded. Two, they're not going to trade him, and then Watson's going to miss some games, and we'll see if he even sits out an entire year. Or three, and this would just be the definition of stupidity by the Texans. They wait till after the draft happens, and then says, now we realize we can't rectify this situation, and we're going to make a trade without knowing where one of those first-round picks that they're going to get back is going to fall. If I'm Deshaun Watson, I know you may not want to do this. And I guess in essence, probably James Harden didn't want to do it as well because he even had regret for the way that things went down. And I kind of laughed at that. Come on, you knew what you were doing. But maybe that's what he felt he had to do in order to expedite the process. And Deshaun Watson, great guy. You loved him at Clemson. You love what he's done in Houston right now. Maybe he has to turn it up a little bit. And we saw him at first. He liked the back page of the New York Daily News or the Post, whatever it was. He's been on Twitter a little bit. Maybe he's just going to start, unfortunately, bashing the organization more. And putting that thought in the head of the Texans, even though I said it, let's put the pressure a little bit more on because you know this. Hey, sports fans, is there anything more in this day of social media that we love more than, hey, 855-212-4 CBS, tell me about the Deshaun Watson situation. He just liked the tweet saying that he was going to get traded or he wants to get traded. And one thing to request a trade, then there's other things that you could do in your power to expedite that process. And if I'm Watson, you look around, you see your own backyard, but James Harden did to get out of town. Why not do that? I feel bad for Texans fans. But we know where the blame is. It's not on Deshaun. It's on Jack Easterby, and it's on Cal McNair. And now look how we view James Harden. James Harden took a beating to start this year. Now, I start off the show today saying how I think the Nets are going to the finals. And also, if you look at the MVP of that team right now, hey, Durant, we all know, is the best player. But James Harden's been the most imperative player. He's been the most valuable player because he's playing nice with Kyrie. He was okay when Kyrie went out to him and said, you're the point guard, I'm the shooting guard. And in 15 out of 18 games, he has 11 assists or more. And even on Sunday night in that victory up against the Clippers, he had 21-8-4 in the first half. And he ends up finishing the game with like 37 points. I think it was 11 rebounds and 7 assists. He's been great. And he's playing nice with Kyrie. And that was the biggest question about Harden going to Brooklyn. Not Kevin Durant, Harden getting along. Not Kevin Durant, Kyrie. Could James Harden and Kyrie Irving get along? And so far, it looks like it's all going well. So if I'm Deshaun Watson, maybe you got to do the petulant tactics on social media. Because it gets you a new team before the draft. You don't have to deal with this dark cloud hanging over your head.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on The Zach Gelb Show.
You know, we have someone, Trace, that religiously listens to the show. And whenever, yeah, just one, right? Whenever I say Ohio State or Michigan, it's almost a trigger word. Where anytime it happens, or anytime I just say Ohio State, I get a tweet right away from one person that goes, "You're such an Ohio State hater." That always happens.
Oh, hater.
Right? Because the last segment, I was talking about Michigan, Ohio State, and how much I enjoyed watching Michigan basketball over the weekend. Yeah, Ohio State lost. Would you say I was hating on Ohio State during that segment?
No, praising Michigan. Michigan, a great basketball team. Nothing. Right? You didn't say anything disparaging about the Buckeyes.
It was a good back and forth game. I even said Ohio State's done a really good job this year. They were the number four team in the country. First time these two teams met, top five in their history for basketball. I even took a jab at Jim Harbaugh on why he could never beat Ohio State. So this guy, Patrick Raleigh, I think his name is, he says, "Why do you hate Ohio State?" And he put one of those thinking emojis. Would you classify me as an Ohio State hater?
I would not.
Especially because I love Ryan Day, too. Temple guy. Had two different stints with the Temple program. I don't know. But anyway, for my main man on Twitter that thinks I'm Ohio State hater, let me give a big fat stock up to Juwan Howard, Phil Martelli, Dickinson with 22, Brooks with 17, Livers with 12. You had some nice rebounding there by Brown down the stretch. How about Michigan with that huge, 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 huge victory over OHNO Ohio State? Stock up. That kind of work, OHNO? You think that's ever been used before instead of IO?
I think you
may have used
it
before.
You have in like
because I'm Ohio State hater.
What the I forget what the rant was, but it was very clever on the spot, and I still remember those last.
Yeah, maybe I probably have used that before. You know, when you're spinning the wheel, you can't remember all the ingredients that you put in. When you're making.
Oh, you know what it was? It was the national title game.
Oh.
And Alabama was just running through their defense.
When Devontae's, that was.
And you're like, Ohio State's in it. Oh, I know.
That was one of the more funnier things. How we took a commercial break. It was a game. And our commercial breaks are not long. 5 minutes. If an update, 7 minutes, we come back. The national championship, that it was a good game. We were sitting there going, oh, yo, this is awesome. Right after Ohio State settled for a field goal, then Devontae Smith happened. Anyway, though, we give that stock up as we just did to Michigan. Next up, how about DeAndre Jordan? So Kyrie Irving in that back-and-forth game up against the Clippers last night where the Nets did win. They're 5-0 on that West Coast road trip. They've won six in a row. Kyrie Irving, as the Nets almost choked the lead up, even with Paul George on the bench with the ridiculous minutes restrictions, he's dribbling, 11 seconds, 10 seconds left on the shot clock. Let me just fire up a three. Whatever. Misses. And somehow, acrobatic play by DeAndre Jordan with a little tip-in. Give a stock up to DeAndre Jordan. So, this was during the show, and I told you, I got in your ear and said, "Trace, did you see the breaking news in Major League Baseball?" And you said, "Nope, did not see it." Albert Pujols' wife has said that Albert Pujols will retire after this season. So, this will be the final season for Albert Pujols. One of my favorite baseball players of all time. And I don't want to say he's not received the credit that he deserves, but don't you think even so, with maybe because of how it ended with the Angels and how he hasn't been great for a little bit, that we kind of have failed to appreciate Albert Pujols. Would you agree with that?
It is interesting, right, that he really, like, he is so close in terms of record-wise, especially home runs.
And he's clean,
he's a machine,
too, from all that
right?
We know.
And it's just like, it's almost like he went to L.A. and just like a forgotten man out there. Went to, like, in the invisible team with the Angels, unfortunately.
He's fifth all-time in home runs.
Crazy.
And if you look at it, Rodriguez, A-Rod, Juicer, Babe Ruth, just like to eat a lot of hot dogs. Hank Aaron, rest in peace. Nothing bad we can say about him. And then Barry Bonds, Juicer. So if you're one of those people that say, if you cheated, steroids, we don't view as the home run king. Hank Aaron would then be one. Babe Ruth would be two. And then three would be Albert Pujols.
I actually didn't think about that.
Right?
That's insane.
Now, he's fifth all time because he just passed Willie Mays. But if
you
just look at it
that
way.
That don't view Barry Bonds. So if you take out the juicers, he's
Because when
that's insanity.
When Hank Aaron passed away, and may he rest in peace, a lot of people said I still view him as the home run king. So just a way of thinking about that. I told this story a few weeks ago, I think, when we were talking about weird people that stalk for autographs and they like push over little kids. It's one of the first autographs I remember getting. Albert Pujols, spring training, Jupiter, Florida, at the Cardinals facility. So one of the all-time greats is walking away at the end of the season. I wish him a final fantastic season. What is your...
Can I jump in here for a quick second?
Is he not retiring?
His wife updated her post.
Ah.
He might still retire.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially, it is unofficial that his decision was made after the season.
So she just posted that?
She posted it, and then if you look at her Instagram now, mm-hmm. edited it. And like big caps, this is not a goodbye.
Because that was even an Axe update at 8:30 that he's walking away.
Big story. And that she just updated it recently.
So could we just, I'm still going to assume he's going to retire. This seems as if they had a conversation. Maybe it wasn't made clear. Let's keep this in-house. But maybe Albert said to her, this is my final year. And then the emotions of all that, clearly, she took to social media. And then Albert probably said, yeah, let's update that. So Albert Pujols now, it's not official that he's retiring. He's still May. Do you have the post in front of you?
I don't.
Okay, that's
right
fine.
Now. I can get it in a second, but I'm sorry.
It's only live radio. It says Albert Pujols retiring after 2021 season. Angel star still undecided after wife's Instagram post. Fuels speculation. So this has now been updated, is what we've been told. All right, so here's a quote from Enrique Rojas. Albert Pujols, ESPN Deportes. Nothing has changed. What we talked about last week, I'll make a decision about the future depending on what happens this season. So, I guess I have the post now from his wife. Now, this is the edited post. This is not an official statement of Pujols' retirement. I'm just trying to send my husband with blessings into the 2021 season. So, do I put that on us? Do I put that on her? Right? Because wasn't an hour ago, it was Albert Pujols was retiring, correct, Amunda?
Well, it looks like she updated it, so like she kept the initial post, and the first mm-hmm. sentence is, today is the first day of the last season based on his contract. Well, I think it was more misleading.
Gotcha.
It was edited, but.
So, let's do this. Give a stock down to me.
Sell!
Give a stock down to you.
Sell!
Give a stock down to Albert Pujols' wife.
Sell!
And give a stock up to Albert Pujols, who's had a great career. And who probably will retire after this year is what I'm going to assume, right?
I'm with you. That's a good logic by you.
Okay. Hey, you win some and you lose some. I guess that was one that we're like Manti Te'o right there. We got catfish. That's what I'm going with. We were made to believe something was true and then we would get told something else happened. Ay, ay, ay. All right, anyway. Can we get to Zach LaVine? He has 21 points right now. They're still in the third quarter, the Bulls. They're blowing out the Rockets. Zach LaVine in February. Here are his point totals. 21, 24, 26, 39, 35, 46, 26, 30, 37, 30, 38. Stock up. Zach LaVine is 21 right now. Now, getting back to that Pujols story. Did someone get in your ear and say, hey, Zach's obviously not updated on the latest, or were you just reading along and then you just saw that on Pujols? What happened there?
I was just kind of scrolling. And then
a little correction.
Yes.
Okay. You know what we were just like? We were like the newspapers that get information. We publish something wrong and we have to make a little correction the next day.
Except the next day we do it instantaneously.
Yeah. I don't think that's a big deal. All right. Anyway, Draymond Green. You see this over the weekend. They're going up against the Hornets. They're up by two. They end up losing the game. The game ends up getting tied because Draymond Green gets tossed out of the game. Now, this is Draymond Green, who just went on that big rant last week. Draymond Green, can't you say he wasn't being respectful? Right? And I still don't get what point he was making. It was an entertaining rant. It was fun to talk about. I still don't get the substance behind his rant. But anyway, Draymond, you can't be putting your team in that spot. Now, give him credit. He did admit he was wrong afterwards. But, man, cost the team the game. Stock down, Draymond Green. Celtics, they're up 24. Pelicans, I saw someone tweet out, oh, what a terrible hire, Stan Van Gundy. I'm not saying that it was the greatest hire in the world. And the next thing you know, largest comeback in franchise history for the Pelicans. That's something I would do. I tweet something out like that. That wasn't me who tweeted that, but I would tweet something out like that, and then the team makes the largest comeback in franchise history. Stock down to the Boston Celtics. Stock down to the refereeing at the end of the Nets Clippers game. You can't call that. Pushing and shoving both ways, Kawhi, James Harden. The fact that James Harden got the call there, didn't love it. Nets should have won the game anyway. They shouldn't have got that close at the end, but give a stock down to the refereeing. And then finally, talking about info that was tweeted out and then deleted, Isaiah Wilson said, "I'm done with football as a Titan. No further comments." Now his agent probably got over to him and said, "Yeah, you got to delete that right now." Pro Football Talk saw it, pointed out the tweet was deleted, and Pro Football Talk gives a little context. As you heard Robinson last week said, "Yeah, that guy that we drafted, not the guy that played for us last year. He only played 4 snaps during his lost rookie season, according to Pro Football Talk. Also had a DUI arrest, a suspicion for violating team rules, 2 stints on the COVID reserve list, and a season-ending move to the non-football illness list to work on personal issues." I hope the guy gets the help that he needs, but clearly he feels that the organization gave up on him. But when you keep on disappointing the organization, how much longer can they support you? It would not surprise me if we find out that this guy gets cut or traded before the start of next season. So that's the Zach Gelb Show, where we try to get you the right information, unless we're given the wrong information that eventually gets corrected. Good show today. Talk to you manana, everybody. Trace, great job. Peace.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.